Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from the book of Proverbs, the 3rd and 16th chapters to wrap up our stewardship series. They read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. When I was 18 years old, I had my life all figured out. I was going to travel the world touring various art and music festivals, selling my works for gas money and food until eventually I got noticed, and then I was going to hit the national circuits. From there, I would go on to fill exhibitions, and my paintings would hang next to the Warhols and the Pollocks and the Cezannes. I would make fortune and fame for myself. I would go from city to city around the globe, seeing all of the most beautiful sights, partying with celebrities, dining in the finest restaurants, and basking in the world's most awesome beaches. At no point during this time did I ever consider that within 10 years, 10 short years, I would be a called and ordained pastor in the Lutheran Church. A married father of one, soon to be two, mind you, and a comparably quiet man compared to that 18-year-old who would enjoy daily devotions, nights in with family, a good workout at the YMCA, a nice glass of dry red wine, the occasional retro video game, and a rather ridiculous backlog of books that represented the accumulated wisdom and knowledge that I was just certain in my teens and early 20s that I did not need. Indeed, if my 18-year-old self could see how his plans would turn out just 14 short years later, I'm sure he would probably call me a sellout. And that's okay, because likewise, I look at him and I call him a fool. Not just for the inherent sin associated with being an unmotivated and often aimless child, but for the frankly selfish way which I dreamed of living. Even assuming for a moment that I could be talented enough to achieve these overblown dreams, what would have been the outcome? What would have been accomplished by the meeting of these goals? Certainly, a life of ease and luxury for myself, but what about anyone or everyone else? Friends, I distinctly remember doing research for a paper on the wisdom readings of the Holy Scriptures my sophomore year in college. I could already by this point begin to see that maybe my life was perhaps going to go a different way than what I had planned before. But I came across, of course, the book of Proverbs as I did this study, and where our text for today is taken, I paged ahead a few chapters and came across these words from chapter 19. "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord which will stand." Needless to say, at this time and in this place in my life, the comfort and the wisdom of these words were quite lost on me. I was distraught when I read them. For I was still clinging to the idea that somehow, some way, my plans were going to work out just the way I hoped they would. That I was going to be rich and famous. That this college phase that I was going through was just a stepping stone, a roadblock on the path to glory. And friends, I wrestled quite a bit over the next few years with Proverbs 19:21, attempting at first to stymie the Lord's purposes and to somehow mold them into my ever-dwindling plans for wealth and excess. The more, however, I invested myself into my religious studies, the more it became apparent that the constant pursuit of material gain did not exactly gel with the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. But more to the point, I came to the stark realization that whatever God's plans for me in particular were, they were apparently not what I had once planned for myself. This morning, I'll spare you the lurid details of the various wake-up calls, roadblocks, and reality checks that went into that realization. Because that's not the point. The point is this: we can squirm and we can struggle against God's plan and purpose. But friends, His will shall be done indeed. Here's the thing, though. The wisdom of Proverbs 19, which was lost on me when I was a student. This is gospel and not law. The will of God is far greater than our will, and His purpose is far higher than our purpose. Not only that, but His plans for us are so much more beautiful and wonderful than anything we could ever hope to plan for ourselves. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. As selfish sinners, we are oftentimes great at making plans for our own benefits. We take pleasure in building a future for ourselves that includes things like a comfortable retirement, maybe in a tropical climate where we can drive our sports cars up and down the pristine coastlines. Or maybe your plans vary slightly. Maybe you can take any number of plans and tailor-make them to suit your personal specifications. But how does God make His plans? God's plan, from the moment that Adam and Eve fell into sin, was not an easy or comfortable plan for Himself. There were no sports cars or pristine coastlines in this plan. For the plan that God made was a plan for rescue, a plan for reconciliation, a plan for salvation for His children who had turned away from Him and who had fallen into sin to pursue their own selfish plans that would lead them headlong into death and into everlasting condemnation. Therefore, God's plan was different than anything that we could have hoped or dreamed. God's plan was to take on our sinful flesh and live among us in meekness and humility. His plan was to suffer and die for our sake. It kind of puts all of those self-centered plans that we make into perspective, doesn't it? God's plan was to sacrifice His only begotten Son so that your sin and my sin could be atoned for. A plan which was accomplished perfectly in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now this, as we know, is all accomplished. This is all said and done. But we also know that God's plans are a present reality. His plans for us, His church on earth, they are not finished yet. As a result of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, the Father has a new plan for His people. A plan of victory over death and the grave for all who believe, which will come to fruition in totality on the last day. This is the future hope outlined in Jeremiah. All of these things we see reach their fulfillment in Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, God's perfect plan for you will be carried out, even as His plan to conquer death and the grave was carried out. So the question that many of us may have this Stewardship Sunday, as we hold the packets which represent our plans, What are we to make of those plans? Are we to take all of our goals and hopes and dreams and throw them out the window because we know that God already has something in mind? That he already has our course mapped out? Well, no, not quite. One of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther sums up this topic quite nicely. He says, "If I knew that Christ would return tomorrow, I would plant a tree today." This is the Reformer's practical application of what is outlined for us in Proverbs chapters 3 and 16. When we commit our labor to the Lord, that is, when we glorify him in our plans for ourselves, our families, and our congregation, then we are no longer two separate entities with different and opposing plans, but instead, we act according to the will and the purpose for which God has made us. Our plans mesh with his, or rather, his plans become our plans. And friends, if the words of the Holy Scriptures that we read today are to be believed, then we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God will indeed bless those plans. I want you to take note, this does not always mean that everything will always go according to the way that we plan it, but that God will take the works of our hands, the ways that we apply our time, talents, and treasures, and he will use it in those ways which are often invisible and unknowable to us. He will use them to grow and prosper his church on earth, and so he will increase his eternal inheritance, an inheritance of which we are all heirs, by the way. And so, in every way, dear friends, submit your plans to the Lord. Not just this morning, not just Loyalty Sunday, but all your plans, each and every day. Trust in him as King Solomon urged us, that his plan for you may show forth in your stewardship, in your works, and in your words. As we prepare to submit those time and talent packets here today at Faith Lutheran, we take part in a much grander, much more glorious plan than anything that we as a congregation could ever make for ourselves. As faithful stewards in this place, God's plan for us is revealed in the service, love, and the gifts of all its various members. Whether you personally can do a lot or a little, whether you can give a lot or a little, dedicate a lot or a little, whatever you commit to the Lord, without fail, he will take. He will increase and multiply to the glory of his name. For friends, we know that just as God is the one who makes the plan, it is he himself who accomplishes the plan. It is he himself who takes us by the hand and who leads us in the work of his church through his Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of funny. As I looked at this sermon as an opportunity to reflect on the plans that I had for myself as a youth, I realized that once I finally gave in to the plans that the Lord was laying out for me, things started to come a lot more easy. I was less frustrated by the fact that I couldn't seem to make any headway. Now, that's not to say that this was always a fun or altogether comfortable path. Seminary, marriage, family, ministry, these things all terrified me. But I'll be honest when I say that they weren't that difficult. They were and they are the greatest blessings of my life, and the funny thing is, I didn't build up any of them for myself. If anything, each and every step of the way, I was resisting or second-guessing what God had in store for me. But friends, God's plans for me and for all of us, they stand because it is him and not us who is responsible for them. On our end, the hard part is submitting. The truly difficult part for me was letting go of my plans. It was admitting to myself that maybe I didn't have everything as figured out and as put together as I thought I had. Once I was willing to take a little wisdom from my pastors, my professors, my parents, and ultimately my God, that's when things finally began to start working out in the way which I now see was very good. Not just good, better than I hoped, perfect even. It is the perfect plan of God which has led this fellowship of believers into this congregation in this time and place to serve this community. It is God's plan for us, Faith Lutheran Church here in Bloomington, Indiana, to give the good news of Christ Jesus to all those we encounter in our various vocations as we go about the plans that God has laid out for us. What a remarkably intricate and wonderful plan that we take part in today, when together as God's people we submit our plans to Him, trusting that He will establish our path. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.